If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to Mesmerized. So glad you're joining us this week. All right. You know, I like to start off the podcast as often as I can, talking about something that made me laugh or something that made me think. And sometimes it's both of those. And so this week it's a little bit of both. So let me start by telling you what made me laugh. I just went on a mission trip with my son, my high school son. It was incredible. Moms, sons, we went and served. If you ever get a chance to do that with any of your kids or all of them as a family, whatever, it's so worth it. So it was incredible. We went, had fun. A lot of us drove, a lot of us flew, all the things. So my friend and I drove with our sons, and my friend is very intentional in her parenting. And she said, listen, let's every hour ask them to unplug, you know, like AirPods devices, all the things. And let's ask them a question, just kind of spark some conversation. Now, I think that's a great idea, but you can imagine the response from our 16-year-old sons. And they were like, wait, what? We're doing what every hour? And so we did it anyway. We did it anyway. And every hour or so, we would stop whatever they're doing and we'd be like, hey, answer this question. So we'd ask easy things, started out easy, foods you love, you know, funny things that happened at school this last year, whatever. And then some of them were deeper and some of them were harder. And one of the questions though that I share with you that my friend asked seemed like a good question when she asked it, but she said, if you could have one superpower that would take away your most dreaded task, what would it be? And so of course, every question my friend and I have to answer first, right? Because they always look at us like, huh? And so my friend's like, I would want a superpower that took away the dishes. I just never had to think about the dishes again. They're done. And I was like, yeah, for me, it's probably vacuuming. Like we're going through it, right? And so it gets to my son and he's like, huh, I think my one superpower, man, if I could get something to take away answering these questions, that would be it for sure. Awesome. There you have it, right? It was kind of funny, but I was like, did he really just say that? I mean, we're trying over here, people. We're trying. But anyway, so we went on this awesome mission trip. It was super, super fun. On the way home, as we're asking more questions, our sons kind of turned the tables. They're like, we want to ask you something. What's the worst thing you did in college? Like the worst thing. And I was like, whew, this could get sketchy for a lot of people. If you're listening to this, maybe you just like broke out into hives of thinking of your kids asking you that. There's not a lot of benefit to me having been lame my entire life. But in that moment, I was like, thank goodness I've never done anything that interesting. And so I told them my story of maybe one of the worst things I did in college, which really wasn't that bad, but whatever, it worked. And so we got a good laugh and we asked our kids and like, well, what's something you've done? That have to be the worst thing, something you've done that we don't know about. And our boys, who are very good friends, proceeded to tell us how in junior high, they knew they weren't allowed to smoke or vape. Well, they're still not allowed to smoke or vape, but they knew they were not allowed to. And so, but they wanted, I guess, to you know, have the experience. So they rolled up notebook paper and lit it on fire and they smoked notebook paper. What? Is that even a thing? I don't think that's a thing, you guys. And here I am thinking like, this was on the second floor of my house. Like, thankfully, I didn't burn down the house, right? But here I am thinking like, you know, my parenting on any given week's pretty good. I mean, he's with his good Christian friends, his whole things. Apparently, they've been smoking notebook paper up there a couple of years ago, and I never knew about it. Never smelled it, never found remnants. Do we have lighters in our house? I don't even know how this all happened. But my friend and I laughed so hard. We're like, well, there you have it. Sorry we asked the question after all. But we did get a good chuckle out of it. We had fun with them. They're super, super great kids. And it was a fun trip. But I thought about something. During one of the devotionals, one of the moms led, she talked to our boys a lot about what makes you a giant among men. What are the things that can make you a giant among men? And that's spiritually speaking. Like, what are those things? What are the things that that make you stand out for your faith, that make you live differently? What are the things that people see and respect and that point others to Jesus? And it was such a great conversation she had, talking to them about just everything from dating and how you treat girls and all the way through, you know, just lifelong stuff. It was great. But she said something, it's a quote, and I'm sure it's a quote from somebody else, and I'm sorry, I don't know who that is, but she said something that stuck with me that I wrote down. And she said to the boys, "You are becoming who you habit to be. You're becoming who you habit to be." So like, what are your habits? That's who you are becoming. And that's not just like for our teenage boys, right? That's for all of our kids. It's really for all of us. Whatever our habits are is who we are becoming. And so I was thinking through that. And as we are entering summer, we've been coming in hot over here, you guys. I'm not kidding. In the Yanoff house, coming in hot. And not just because it's 1,000 degrees in Texas, because it is, but coming in hot in terms of just busy, chaotic, house is a mess, people in and out and leaving stuff and no clean clothes, all the things. You know how summer goes, right? And it's just felt a little unsettled and crazy over here. And so my husband the other night called a family meeting, which he doesn't call family meetings very often. And by the way, Mike Yanoff's threshold for things that bothers him, it's like huge. Very little bothers Mike Yanoff. He's like, laid back, whatever, it's good. So when he called a family meeting, I'm like, well, this is about to get good, you guys. And he called us outside and he had a tripod out. Yes, you heard me, a tripod. And on the tripod was one of those huge like flip chart things. And he'd written out a bunch of different words. And so he's like, everybody report outside, we're going to talk. And he proceeded to go through a lengthy discussion, which I'm just going to cut it short, but basically said, there are some basic expectations of being a part of this family and being in this house. There are some things that, like, if we're going to set the bar, this is the very lowest it could be. I would rather you rise higher than this, but here's the lowest expectation in this home. And he read off these different categories. And I thought they were so good. Okay. And I'm not reading them necessarily in the order that he had them written out, but he said, fun, like, we're going to be fun people. We're going to laugh at ourselves. We're going to have a good time. People are going to want to come here because we can have fun. We don't have to take everything so seriously. Great. Courteous, grateful, kind, diligent, and present. And I mean, present, isn't that a good one? Like, that's something I needed to hear. Maybe it was on the list because of me, actually, now that I say that, that being present when we're with our people. How do we do that well? Put away the phones, right? All the things. So again, it was fun, courteous, grateful, kind, diligent, and present. And I was thinking about those are the things like I want us to habit into being those kind of people. And so as we're going into summer and you're doing all the things, I'm trying to do all the things, I think it's a great time to stop and just say, like, what do we want our family to look like in 3 months, 6 months, 5 years? What are the things that really matter? What's going to be our identity as a family, right? What are we rooted in? And what are we going to do today to work towards that? And I love that my husband took the time to say, like, I'm watching what's going on with this freak show over here, and I'm not seeing the things that we're going to be about. So we're going to redefine them and talk about them again. This is what we're going to be about. And so I don't know what's going on in your house. I don't know what the freak show is. I don't know who's smoking notebook paper on your second floor. If you're anything like me, you probably don't know that either. But what I do know is that it's a good opportunity as we are in the summer to kind of look again and set the standards, set the tone for our families. What do we want our family to look like in 2 years, 5 years, 15 years? What are the things we're habiting into now to make our families have that dynamic, to make our kids stand out? How can we help our kids be giants among men? And sometimes it's big stuff, but a lot of times it's just the little everyday things and making sure that we're staying true to what we're called to be and who we are as families. We're staying true to scripture, all the things. And so those are this week, the things that made me laugh and made me think. And so on that whole idea of laughing, let's go back to that. And today we have Dustin Nickerson with us, and I'm so excited. I had never had an opportunity to talk to Dustin, and he is a comedian. He has been on all kinds of amazing platforms, including James Corden several times. He loves the Lord. He's funny. He's great. And we get to chat with him today about just real life and raising kids and all the funny stuff we're all walking through. And so he does have a special out on YouTube right now. It's called Runs in the Family. It is awesome. I listened to it. I laughed so hard. Totally worth your time. And then he's on tour. You can look up his schedule, see if he's coming anywhere near you. But I'm thrilled he's here today. So let's have a good laugh. Let's kick back a little bit with Dustin Nickerson. Hey, Dustin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Cynthia.
Well, my goodness. You and I both probably know this, but you have a stalker in Dallas. And it's not me. And it's not me, but we have a mutual friend. I'm air quoting it. It is my friend, but someone that that loves everything you do and goes to all your shows, and I think is part of your equivalent of Patreon. I'm not sure. But she has been like on me. She's like, Dustin Nickerson, Dustin Nickerson, Dustin. And so I'm like, well, that'd be fun. I'd love to have a comedian on. And then she's like, hey, he was just on Cord. And I'm like, oh, now see, this gets weird because I don't think Dustin Nickerson wants to come on if he's on Cord. And you're just
no, I'm happy to do it.
So awesome. So thanks for being here. And so let's just start right there. Like, really, how do we get to James Corden? How'd that happen? Let's just start there.
Oh, 300 sets a year for 11 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, really hard work.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say every other show saying no to me 10 times, including Corden, over the opportunities before that. I always joke that I had to publish, like I did Corden twice. Mm-hmm. And last June was the first time. And it was to promote my book. And I was like, did I have to write a book to get to do stand up on TV? Is that the,
it's all but about it the is book.
Yeah, and it's always hardest to get your first late night thing. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, congrats. But it's awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, and I did it again, and then he left.
Yeah, he's gone. I saw the last one, and I was like, oh. Okay, so here's the question for you. Like, when you're on an airplane you're coming back from wherever. I know you live in California. How does this go if people happen to talk? Not that anybody talks on the airplane anymore, but if they're like, hey, what do you do? And like, for me, like I used to be a lawyer, not anymore, but like, I just go back to lawyer. Cause like, I don't want to be like, oh, I podcast and write books. They're like, oh, sure you do, lady, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. How's that go for you? Comedian.
It depends on the airline and whether or not they talk. Southwest absolutely talks.
Yeah.
Southwest is like a church meet and greet. Everybody is so happy. They're all just shaking hands, you know, like, totally. Like I fly Delta and like, it's a big deal on Delta. If somebody's like, hey, could you hold my bag for a second? That's like a big deal.
Yeah.
On Southwest, they'll be like, could you hold my baby?
Right.
Could you hold it for an hour on the flight?
Things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have to go to the bathroom. So could you hold my baby? No, I always, where I get it the most is Ubers, but now, and Lyfts, but now you can say you don't want them to talk to you, which I do that. But I always say, I always say event planner. That's like a weird, because it explains why I travel so much.
Yeah.
And it's not 100% a lie in that I kind of am in the events world.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, so I don't know why I landed on that, but it's just
that's
generic enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you get to pretend to be a different person sometimes.
Every
which
time.
Is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I'm just out here planning these events.
These events, whatever these events,
yeah,
these events are.
Event.
Yeah. Now, okay, let's talk about you growing up. Like, were you the funny kid? Like, let's just get
no.
No.
No, most stand-ups aren't.
Okay.
Because stand-up is mostly rooted in writing.
Okay.
Like, it's very I was not the funny kid, but what I took – usually – this is my experience. The most stand-ups would say that they were not the funny kid, but they were the one that made the funny kid laugh. We're not wallflowers, but we're kind of more like back of the crowd, like making fun of everything that's going on. There's not – we're not like stand up in front of the group, everybody look at us and be funny in class. So
yeah.
People who went to school with me are very surprised that I had this career. Very, very surprised.
Interesting.
My family too. My sister said that to me recently. She's like, it's just so weird to me that it's you who does that and not me. And I'm like, I mean, ouch.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of that, but
yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so let's talk about just like, you know, growing up, did you grow up like in a traditional home? What'd that look like?
No. I grew up, I was raised mostly by a single dad in the Seattle area, but we were raised like super rednecky because my dad is from a small rural town in Oregon. So I would see my mom like once a month, but mostly my house was me, my sister, and then my dad, and my dad's brother, my Uncle Butch. That was my home growing up.
Yeah. So, what's rednecky in Oregon? Because, you know, I'm in Texas, and so I know what rednecky is in Texas.
It's the exact same thing. People, this, it, people don't, Oregon is so rednecky. I've been to every, I've been to every state in this country. I've been to every major city, and then some, and most of, and a lot of minor ones too. As soon as you get outside of Portland, it is super country, super, it's very rural. It's very, very rural. It's exactly the, it's the exact same behaviors of every redneck you've ever met.
Okay.
Minus the accent. Like, they fly Confederate flags, which is hilarious. It's like, you live in Oregon.
Yeah. You're not a party to this gig. Yeah.
No. So it's, yeah, that was like, we grew up like watching NASCAR and, you know, drinking Budweiser. And like, that was like, you know, there's,
that's
like
how you do it.
Yeah. They're hunters and, you know, that's my rednecky. We fished, we did all the rednecky things.
Yeah.
We had a big family horseshoe tournament every year. Super rednecky.
Okay. And so that's awesome. Okay. And so you fast forward it and you have two kids. Is that right?
Three kids.
Three. Okay. Tell us about ages.
15, 13, and 9.
Okay.
So, yeah. Boy, girl, girl. Joel, Gloria, Claire.
Okay. And so now you've got a 15-year-old. Let me ask you this, having a 16-year-old myself, son, have you done, have you done the teach him to drive thing? Are you in the process of that?
We're doing it right now. Do you guys have it where they have to do like the minimum hours?
Yes. Yes.
How many hours do they have to do?
Well, see, that's embarrassing because I'm not sure I know. We just have them driving all the time, but it's a lot. And I don't do that whole, like, we in our house haven't done like where you sign up for drive times. Like, literally we've taught them because our girl was our first one. And then, and then we went through it with a boy. And so I always tell people, like, now knowing what I know, you pay someone to drive that child around and teach them, because the son, like, he drives like, I mean, he just got his license. Everyone should beware, but he literally drives like 45 in the neighborhood. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then he goes like 20 on the freeway. And I'm like,
hilarious.
And then I'll say to him, like, dude, you got to slow down the neighborhood. And I get, Dustin, I get like the, your mama needs to slow down in the neighborhood. Like, that's what I get.
Right.
And we let these people drive a car. And so I'm just wondering, what's your experience?
Yeah. Real highbrow, sophisticated sense of humor. Totally. The teenage boy. Really.
Yeah. Fancy.
Yeah. It's really scary. I don't like it. I don't like that you have to drive so much with them to get the times.
Yeah.
But it is good, but it's scary. You're just like, you're so bad at this.
So I don't, bad.
And the way that they do it in California is like, yeah, you do like two drive. And like, you do the majority of the teaching. Like, I had driver's ed as a kid where I spent a whole summer going to school essentially for like 3 days a week. And then we would do drives with this guy. And that is not it now. They do two of these like longer drives with a guy. And then you do it.
And then you're like, oh, here we go. And do you remember at driver's ed, like, you're much younger than I am, but do you remember at driver's ed when you'd watch the videos? Like, they had the videos and they're like, you will die. Like, period. They're horrible. Horrible.
Yeah. It was a given that you were going to die.
Yeah.
That was 100%. There's no doubt you will die.
You will die.
Just so you know. It was just a matter of which way you were going to die. Either was it going to be your fault or somebody else's fault, but you were going to die. No, I wish there was a little more like fear in their process right now of just like, because that's the main issue with our boys. He's just too casual about it. Like, the instructor had to tell him to put his hands on the wheel more because he kept fixing his hair.
Yes.
And you're like, who is this for?
I was trying to like oversee some of the video watching that my son, there is in Texas, like some certain videos you have to watch to whatever. And so I walked by the computer that was on that the son wasn't sitting in front of. Okay. So the video's playing, the son is not there. And I'm looking and they're explaining how like to get out of a water rescue or something. And I'm like, okay, well, this is like a whole different day because they're talking about the devices to keep in your car and all that. I'm like, no, my day, you're going to die. And so it was all graphic. Him, like, we're trying to have the right little instruments and tools to get out in a water rescue.
Yeah.
And he's not even watching the video because there's nobody there to man him and manage that. I'm like, what in the
world? No. Yeah. The only, it's so funny because the only real thing that our generation of kids needs to know is like, do not text and drive. Get off your phone.
Yeah.
Like, if I would like him to teach, I would like, there almost needs to be like the equivalent of like a breathalyzer where mm-hmm. like you cannot drive until you've thrown your phone into the back seat.
Totally.
that's my only real mm-hmm. fear with him, because he's very responsible. He's my one kid that doesn't have ADD. Like, he can be focused mm-hmm. and like do the job, but I know I haven't been the best example of that. That's the other thing, is now that he's learning how to drive, he's like, that wasn't a full stop, Dad. I'm like, all right, now I'm not here for this.
No.
All right, I don't need your critiquing just because you do. You still need to make full stops. I don't. I know how to feel it out when you need to make them or not.
Yes, that is totally.
I've been doing this a long time.
Totally our son too. He's like suddenly an expert before he got his license, and same. We're like, enough out of that. So yeah. As you're raising kids, anything stand out everything, but what's different from when you were growing up? What are you seeing now as you're raising kids? You're like, oh man, I never saw this.
I mean, it's the phone, right? It's the phone,
social
it's the
media.
Devices, it's social media, it's all of it. It's like you do everything you can to protect them and look out for them and try and keep them safe and give them certain limitations. Our kids are pretty late to get phones. Like, my son didn't get an iPhone until he was in high school. Mm-hmm. And then he got it. And it's like, you would think it's like, oh, I'm so grateful for this. And it's no, it's like, oh, well, when can I get on social media now?
Totally.
Like, there is yeah. that. And it's the same thing with my middle kid, our daughter. She's like, we got her a phone where she can do texting for the first time like 6 months ago. And she's like, well, I need to be on Snapchat. Everybody's on Snapchat. You're like, okay. It's just the constant ask, mm-hmm. push. And we have like, I don't know, we do our best, our tools, but helping them to learn how to self-regulate. But at the same time, knowing like there's just no way, because your brains are forming and this is a drug. You're having drugs put into you at this age. So
totally.
So it's hopeless and we've given up. And now our youngest is on Snapchat and she's 9. So I'm just kidding.
Well, no, it's. And when you were saying you didn't give your oldest an iPhone until high school, at what age did he start telling you that everybody had an iPhone? Because I think it hits so early.
11, 10. 11. Yeah. Yeah. That's one of our favorite phrases in our house, is like everyone, but like not everyone. No, really, everyone's on Snapchat. They're all doing that. I mean, that happened last weekend. Our daughter was at like a bowling party and she was like, oh, everyone here is on Snapchat. We're like, everyone here is on Snapchat. I don't feel like they're all, well, most of them. Okay. So now we already know what the truth is,
right?
But I get it. Feeling left out as a kid is the worst.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we always tell them like, there is always something that every person feels left out by. We all mm-hmm. have something that makes you feel different, weird, excluded, left out. Mm-hmm. If you got this, then you would find another thing, because those kids, and our oldest son, he has been good to his younger sister. And he said like, Gloria, even if you, I know you want these things, but even if you had them, there would be other things you wanted, or it wouldn't make you feel as good as you think you would feel. And she's, you know, she was like, she's trying to spend a bunch more money on clothes. And Joel said to her the other day, like, Gloria, if you'd wear all those clothes, then people are just going to make fun of you for being a rich kid. Like, mm-hmm. it isn't, there's no winning at that age. There's just always something that's going to make you feel weird.
Totally. Totally. And so as someone, you yourself, that has a presence, obviously, on social media, it is interesting, and I think I've heard you kind of reference this, but how, you know, even like bullying, social media bullying, how it looks different from when mm-hmm. we were a kid to what it looks like now. And
yeah,
it's not easy.
It's worse. It's way worse. There was something very cut and dry about getting punched in the face that you're like, well, it's over.
Right.
You know, like, but these kids, they have, the internet always feels bigger than real life. Mm. It always feels like when someone leaves you a comment on something, it feels, which is funny, because it's not, it's the complete opposite. It's so insignificant, but it doesn't feel like it. It feels demonstrative. It feels huge. It feels like everything and everybody hates me. And you feel for these kids, because they can't, when we were kids, if you were getting bullied, you had your home, and your bully would not come to your home.
True.
You were safe in your home, you know, but mm-hmm. that's not true with social media. Your bully is in your pocket. Your bully is online. And then you wonder what people are saying about you online. And it's, yeah, it's bad. And I feel it, especially for my daughters. I feel mm-hmm. like this, that like that pressure to be a certain way, to look a certain way, to post about yourself being and looking a certain way. It's tough. It's a tough pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so as you have three kids that have a dad who's a comedian. And by the way, you have a YouTube special, It Runs in the Family. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. Everyone,
thank you.
Like, just listen to it. Y'all have got to check that out. We'll link it in podcast notes. But I'm just curious, do your kids think you're funny or is it dad jokes? Like, I mean, they're good dad jokes if they are.
Yeah, it's both. They do think I'm funny, but I'm not like a stand-up comedian to them, right? I mean, I'm definitely funnier than most dads, but I think my dad was funnier than I was in my house, but it's a different thing. Like, because you just relate differently to them, mm-hmm. right? You're like, yeah, I mean, I still have to like discipline these kids. Like, they don't think I'm funny because I have to take their phone away sometimes. Yeah. They don't think I'm funny because I don't buy them clothes sometimes or whatever it may be. So it's a different kind of relationship. But that being said, I mean, listen, there's a lot of laughs. And actually, my kids are all funny. All three of them are very funny in their own kind of unique, different ways. So there's a lot of laughs in the house. There's also a lot of yelling and screaming.
A lot of everything.
All of the above. Yeah. My wife always says, we're a very passionate family.
we always say over here, we're a lot. Like we're not a lot. We're not everybody's cup of tea. You either really enjoy us or not.
No.
We're a lot.
And that's okay.
That's okay. All right. Jumping in here for just a minute to make sure you've checked out CynthiaYanoff.com. If you have not, would you go do that? It is a great place to see all the things going on, but also you can sign up and get emails from me, and you know, I'm not going to spam you, wouldn't do it, but it will tell you when there's new podcasts out. Also, some prayer initiatives that are coming up, some ways to be a part of that. And so, take a second if you haven't, go to CynthiaYanoff.com, sign up to receive the newsletter. And then, the other thing is, you guys are very attentive, and I'm so grateful for that. You have left reviews so kindly, done that for me, and that has helped other people find us. If you haven't, though, will you take a second, wherever you're listening, wherever you stream podcasts, you leave a quick review, just what the show has meant to you thus far. That would be a huge gift, and that would help other people find us as we are growing this thing from the bottom up. Let's talk about Melissa. And you wrote a book, How to Be Married to Melissa, which is, I've only read a couple chapters so far. Your stalker here in Dallas gave me a copy and I've thoroughly.
Sherry. Yeah. You can hear Sherry laughing in my special.
Right.
There's a couple times totally. Where it's very distinct.
Yeah. Yes. But I love the book and I love how you really speak into marriage. So let's just start with that. Does your wife think you're funny? I mean, we got to know this.
Yes. No, my wife thinks I'm hilarious. Yeah, I think, that's, and I think she's hilarious. That's.
Because y'all podcast together too, don't you? Right?
Yeah. She says her favorite part about, we just did a podcast recently where someone asked her, like, what's your favorite part about being married to a comedian? Mm-hmm. Is like, she's like, it's like a customized act for me. Like, he can write jokes about us, our relationships, my life. Like, I have the ability to make a custom, like I'm a walking customized stand-up act for her. So yeah, we laugh a lot. And then I think we switched to doing the pod with her. Originally we were just guests, but during the pandemic, which I know you guys didn't acknowledge there in Texas,
we did not,
but the rest of the world had a global
about.
Pandemic. You may have heard about it and you may have read about it online. But the, I switched to having her as the permanent co-host, and it's great because it brings out a different side of me, a much like sillier kind of like goofy, mm-hmm. like, you know, husband. And then I just think she's so funny. I think she's like so particular and unique and charming, and it's fun to kind of share her with the world in that sense.
Yeah. So I remember hearing about during the pandemic that you did you do a daily show or podcast or something y'all were putting out?
Oh, I mean, I was posting every day during the pandemic. It was like, it ended up being, as far as like my online presence, it was helpful.
Yeah.
Because like, I was like, oh, I better figure this out, you know? And I think like I went up over 100,000 followers because I was just like consistent online. And it was because I was bored and desperate, and the government had made my job illegal. And mm-hmm. And I was like, they were paying me to not tell jokes. That hurt my feelings. I was posting a lot, and then I was doing like, we were doing more podcasts. And then also I was like, we were doing regular, I did a couple like quarantine Zoom shows sold tickets to and stuff. It was fun. Yeah, we had a good time.
Do you, and I'm going to start by telling you that we didn't fare well in COVID. And I know I'm in Texas and we barely acknowledged it exists, but there was like that, you know, 18 hours we stayed home. And, and during those 18 hours, I'll just share with you, Dustin, my husband, who's a lawyer, got bored. And so he decided he's going to trim our big tree out front, like the big tree. We live in Texas. There's only like one big tree. Okay. And he accidentally cut off the branch that he got up in the top of the big tree. And so like, he says he could have gotten out. Me and the three kids are like, he's not getting out of there alive. And you can't go to the hospital, right? Cause it's COVID. It's like, no, you're going to die if you go to the hospital. That's as bad as those driver's ed videos. So we're like, yes. No, you will die at the hospital. So we had to call the fire truck. And when I tell you, the firemen came. It was like
like a cat. Like they had like a cat. They had to get your husband out of the tree.
It was a cat, Dustin. And it's literally like, ma'am, what's your emergency? I'm like, my husband's stuck in a tree. And they're like, just confirming your husband's stuck in a tree. I'm like, yes, my husband's stuck in a tree. And they didn't bring
they thought it was a joke. Like you're like, did you name your cat my husband? Is that a joke? Your actual human husband is stuck in a tree.
It's stuck in a tree. And they're funny. Those firemen are funny because they brought the big truck. Like the city long truck that has the guy in the back that drives.
Yeah.
Sirens on. And they came tearing through.
Sirens on. Siren your poor husband.
On. And they pull up in front of the house, the whole thing. And, you know, everybody's out because what are you doing during COVID? You're walking, right? You just walk your neighborhood. Right. Look at each other.
That's hilarious.
So anyway,
that's
that was so funny. One of a thousand things. Just curious how you fared during that. Were you good COVID? Were you good stay at home?
I describe COVID as like the opening line of A Tale of Two Cities, and that it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, and that there was like we spent so much time together as a family, we laughed a lot, we ate a lot, and it was great in that sense. But there was also like, are we okay? Are we gonna have enough money? Are we?
Yeah.
Are we? Is stand up ever gonna come back? Are we? Is everyone in our family healthy and safe? Because I know we make jokes about it, but you know, a lot of people did die, and that sucked. You know, it was so there was like family members that we were vulnerable and worried about, and you're scrubbing the groceries. There was like a panic time too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we actually had to deal with it for the hardest part was the school closures, you know, where we live. So our kids went 13 months of not in-person school. So it was brutal.
I've heard you mention, you know, the ADHD running in the family per your special. And so we have a little ADHD in this family. And the one in particular that I'm pointing to broke both of his arms during COVID. Like, He's little.
Was it in the tree too? Did that tree take another one out?
Pardon you. He did not get my husband's tree, but close. So let's talk about faith for a few minutes as we start to kind of wrap up. But just, she grew up in church. Did you kind of come to faith later in life? What did that look like for you?
High school. Yeah.
High school.
Yeah. In high school, I started going to like a church youth group and just kind of stuck around, you know, it's not unlike how I did stand up and then it wasn't like some big decision. And then I just went to my first open mic and you're like, oh, I like this. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll just do this now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was my wife did grow up in church. Okay. She completed the entire Awana program. Like she was a church hardcore kid. Yeah. 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 So we're kind of an odd couple in that sense, but we met in high school youth group, you know, like we've been together for a long time. So
yeah, you got married.
Grow up in church.
You got married.
I was 19. She was 20. Yeah. So it was in our junior years of college.
Your junior years. Got that. And so like, I guess I'm a girl who grew up in the church, but I married a guy, the same thing, high school, kind of through athletics and all that. Funny things about church, like observations, like when you got in, were you like, this is a weird little situation we have going on?
Well, church does not realize how much of a weird subculture it is.
Yeah.
When you're in it, it takes an outsider to be like, you're doing what? Like, it doesn't make any sense. You have no context for it. I remember the first Easter service I went to it was a Good Friday service. I went to a Good Friday service. And it was like we were in our church at the time met in this like middle school gym that I wrestled at. Like I was like, I've been in this gym before. Like I was like,
yeah,
why is a church service happening here? And they were like reenacting Palm Sunday.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. It was a Palm Sunday service, not Good Friday. It was Palm Sunday. So Jesus comes into the town and everyone lays
Hosanna,
down
Hosanna.
The Hosanna, exactly. Uh-huh. And there was a donkey there.
Yeah, there was.
And I was like, why is there, they brought in a real life donkey. And I was like, why is there a donkey in this gym? There's a real life donkey here. And I didn't know the stories. You don't know the story. Cause that's not even like, I didn't grow up in church. I was like, I'm vaguely familiar with the cross. That's the one I know.
Yeah.
I got nothing because this is in Seattle too. That's not a churched area,
no.
You know? And I there was just a million little things like that. I was like, is anyone going to explain this to me? Mm-hmm. Like, I remember the first time I was in like youth group and they're like, okay, now we do singing. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
We're going to, huh?
We're singing. And then everyone had all these hand motions and stuff I didn't know about. And I was like, wow. I mean, thankfully for you, I come from a broken enough home that you guys are, I want to be here and put up with this side of things. But I've never liked that part. I, to this day, I'm still not like, great, the songs. This is my favorite part. This is my favorite expression of faith.
That's how my husband is with the handbells.
Yeah.
Have you been in church with the handbells?
Oh, no, I haven't, but I'm well-versed.
Yes,
yeah,
my husband's always like, stop. Make it stop with the handbell.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, but it's you know, I think that's any expression of, like, faith. Like, if you've never been to a Catholic church, you're like, why are we sitting and standing and why is the thing? And he's, okay, that's smoke? Why is there smoke? You know, there's always a million little things if you're not familiar
totally.
With, you know,
totally.
You have no idea how insular of an environment it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm just guessing you have an opinion on this, but, you're not, you would not characterize yourself as a Christian comedian per se, but a comedian that has faith, or where do you fall on that line? How do you describe that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I am a Christian who does comedy, but I don't, I perform in comedy clubs.
Yeah.
I certainly don't carry that moniker, nor am I really interested in it. Now you're putting yourself up on a pedestal. You're also a label you may or may not be comfortable with. And I mean, we make this joke in our book that, like, I'm that level of Christian where I am both, in some people's life, I'm the most religious person they know. Mm-hmm. And then to other people, they think I'm a prodigal. Like, I'm somewhere in between. And so I don't like the moniker Christian comedian, because then it kind of, now the debate is whether or not I'm a Christian and whether or not I should make that joke or whether or not I cross the line. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, and then when you take that on, now people get real uncomfortable with a lot of different things. I don't find those labels very interesting
helpful.
To
yeah.
me. Yeah, yeah, interesting or helpful to me. So.
I think that's right on. But, well, I'm just so glad to have been introduced to what you do, because you are hilarious. And I just want to make sure.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Well, I just want to make sure, you're welcome. And I want to make sure that everybody knows, like, Runs in the Family, and that's on YouTube. And then How to Be Married to Melissa is the book that everyone needs to check out. And then this is, I mean, we have far more than just Dallas people listening, but if you're going to be in Dallas, if you live in Dallas, then you can catch Dustin firsthand. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be at the Addison Improv on, which is where I recorded my special, on August 27th for two shows. So
August
5 and 7:30 PM.
Okay, perfect. And then just online, can they find your schedule for wherever people live?
Yeah. If you go to DustinNickerson.com,
DustinNickerson.com. Awesome. It's so nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me,
Best
Cynthia.
Best of luck. All right. So grateful to Dustin for being with us. He is the best. He's so funny. Check out his comedy special, Runs in the Family. It's on YouTube. And also his touring schedule is on his website. You can figure all of that stuff out. And don't forget, go to CynthiaGanoff.com and sign up for our newsletter. And I'm just so grateful you're here every week. We've got some really, really cool people coming your way that you are not expecting, and super fun stuff. So make sure you are subscribed and tuning in every week. So grateful for you guys. Love you.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.